Thank you so much, Pastor. I've got to set it straight right now that when he was in the other room and right before the prayer, he said something about an excellent hunter. And, you know, pastors preach evangelistically and they over... Are you with me? Here I found out that Danette is, she's probably cleaning up in there. Frankie's wife last year got a 10 point. How many in here have gotten a 10 point? Let me shake your hand. Maybe it'll rub off on me. We should have Danette in here talking about this. I do hunt on occasion and I have fun doing it. And I want to share a story, a true story that happened to me, and God just taught me some wonderful lessons. This just reminds me, one year at Myrtle Beach, we go to Myrtle Beach almost every year with my folks, and Lynette and I are holding hands walking along the beach, and I look down, there's something shiny. And I pull it out, and lo and behold, it's a lantern, and I start wiping it off, and a genie comes out. And just a few months before this, I was in Israel. And if you've never been to Israel, please go to Israel. It is unbelievable to walk where Jesus walked. And just that feeling of his presence, it is unbelievable. And so the genie came out and he said, I'll give you any one wish. You can't wish for more wishes. And I said, I want you to build a bridge from Slippery Rock over to Israel so that we can go anytime you want. And he's like, come on, man. There's not enough resources in all the world to build a bridge from Slippery Rock over to the Holy Land. What's your number two wish? And I said, man, I got to preach every week. So will you make me a great preacher like Billy Graham? So just make me a great preacher. Poof, and make me a great preacher. And he got real close to me and he said, do you want two or four lanes on that bridge? The rest will be more true. A few years ago, my dad called and he said, son, I got a surprise for you and your brother. I want you to just come down. And you need to plan it a couple weeks out because I want you to come down on Friday and spend the weekend with us. And, you know, my dad's in the union and he's always fighting to get a union for preachers to get Sundays off, you know, because he's like, you got to get more Sundays off, son. This is quite crazy. Well, I finally got a Sunday off and I went down. I didn't know what was happening. He just said, bring your bow with you. So I brought my bow and showed up. Got there Friday, and we drove for hours and hours and hours and hours. And I said, what's up? What's going on? And we pulled in this little camp place, and it was all fenced in. And here it was. It was like a 1,000-acre, 1,200-acre game preserve for hunting. And we were going on a wild boar hunt. Now, I'd never seen a wild boar. So they had us watching all these videos and things and all this stuff and telling us, you know, the kill zone on a wild boar, you know, is only about that big. You know, it's not big at all. It's right behind the shoulders, and it's not just not big. And so we're watching these videos and all this stuff, and these guys are telling us the stories. And so in the morning we get up, and so I take my bow, I get out in the stand, and it came almost noontime, and it was a typical morning for me. I saw nothing. I saw nothing. I mean, nothing. The guy comes over. He's on his little quad, and he pulls on up, and he's like, so, do you see anything? I'm like, nah, typical stuff. And he said, well, you want to try another spot? I said, sure, if you think, whatever. So he took me over to another tree stand. I was in it about 40 minutes, and here comes about a dozen pigs. And they come on up behind me, and they come over, and they go under these trees. And so I'm up there, and, I mean, my heart's pounding now. You know what? Man, I can't believe it. And, you know, you're getting your arrow out, you know, and it was an arrow just like this rascal. And I'm putting it in, and I'm looking, and I've got everything snug like that one isn't. Wow. I didn't even know which way to go with it. Okay, so we got it all there, and they come up, and I'm looking, and I'm judging distance, and they stay under this stupid tree. These don't go through leaves. So they just mill around, and then I finally see I've got an opening about that big between branches and stuff, and I'm just waiting, and finally get there, and I pull full draw and just let that go. That'd be terrible if I hit that piano, wouldn't it? I better be careful. That pianer. So, zoom, and you guys know, anyone that hunts archery, I mean, you can see your knock. Everything slows down. And I just see that baby, and boom, and I hear this squeal, and then they all take off, and I hear rattling and all kinds of stuff, because it ran by a tree and broke my arrow off. So I know what you're supposed to do. What are you supposed to do when you hit something? Wait, sit down, just sit down and wait. So I sat, just stayed right where I was. I waited 45 minutes. Then I got down, and I walked over, and I found the other half of my arrow. I marked the tree where it was, and then I looked, and there was a spot of blood, spot of blood, spot of blood. I'm like, yes, I hit it. Good sign. So I go for a little while, and then I hear the quad coming. And the guy comes over, and he's like, so what's up, dude? I said, hey, I hit one. And he said, good, so where'd they go? So I pointed where they were, and so then we started tracking these pigs. They went, we were tracking them for almost an hour before we started to catch up to him. He crawled through brush, and he looked over. He had these little glasses, spying glasses. He crawled through and looked over, and he said, you got one, but you were about an inch high and an inch forward from the kill. So here's this pig that's got one of my arrows stuck all the way. It just missed the vitals, went through one shoulder and lodged in the other shoulder. Then we tracked it a little bit further, and this pig rolled in mud to seal it up. Rolled in mud. We did have a nice blood trail, and then it was like every fourth step, you would see just a spot of blood. Spot of blood. We tracked that thing for another hour. Spot of blood, spot of blood. And then the herd went this way, and the pig that I hit veered off and went this way. Tracked it another hour through the woods. I had no idea where we were. But while we were tracking, now just imagine this, and this guy's telling me all these stories. These wild boar, have you ever seen the tussle in a wild boar? Man, they are huge. I mean, they can come 6 inches, and he's telling me all these stories of these men that have gotten ripped to shreds and had to be rushed to the hospital. And he's telling me all these stories. I'm walking through the woods with this. Chasing a wounded animal. Now, everyone relax. This is not loaded. I checked it. It's not loaded. There's no thing in it. He's walking through the woods with this. A Desert Eagle 44 Magnum. Okay? Nothing in it but Desert Eagle 44 Magnum. I'm walking with a bow and arrow. And he has this thing out. You know, like this, and walking like this. And I'm saying, something's wrong with this picture. Something is wrong with this picture. I'm like, and then he's telling me this stuff. He's like, you know, I just got this 44 Eagle because guys came in here to hunt these pigs, and they had brand new 9mm, and they never penetrated the pigs. The front shoulders on these pigs, they fight so much that they actually build this huge callus up, and a 9mm won't even penetrate it. In fact, the guy said he was right next to him just popping it, unloading, and they pulled every single one of them out with needle nose pliers. Never penetrated through. These pigs will fight each other and just try and kill each other with their front tusks. And so they've just got this whole thing. So here I am walking through. He's telling me all these stories of these people they've had to take to the hospital. And what do I have in my hand? And he's got the 44 Magnum. And now he's like, so you go up front. I got your back. You go up front. I got your back. We tracked this pig for another hour. We've been tracking this thing for 4 hours. Finally, we come up this trail. It's a main trail that this pig's walking on. And there's this field up here. And that pig went up and started walking in the field across like that. And he's about 40 yards away. And the pig just stops and looks at us. Well, my guy, he lays everything down and he just goes, yo, 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 yo. And that pig is just, he said, this is it. He's coming after us now. And that was the truth. That pig saw us. And it's a, and there was about a 40-yard thicket between us. Really thick. I mean, briars and all that kind of stuff. And so it started walking back toward us. And this guy's pushing me up toward the trail. I'm like 10 yards away. I'm just 10 yards away from, well, that's not quite 10 yards. I'm 10 yards away. And that pig comes and its snout is right there. And he's just looking. And I'm like, I'm at a full draw. And I'm like shaking. And this guy's like, you got one shot. And then you better get up and tree. You got one shot. And then you best get up a tree. You got one shot. Make it count. Now he's standing behind me this whole time. He's got the 44 Desert Eagle. And I've got a little bow. So here we are. I'm not going to draw it back. So here we are. And I'm at like full draw. And I'm just waiting. And it felt like an eternity. And this pig is just, I mean, you can see he is mad. I mean, you can just see. And so I'm at a full draw. And I'm just shaking. And you know how it gets holding the bow back. Man, I'm shaking and I'm shaking. And finally, he comes, and I let loose, and you know when you let go of an arrow, you can watch the knock. I already said that. Time slows down when you're hunting. I could see that knock, and it was going right in for the kill, right in for the kill. But that pig, when he came out, he lowered down to make the turn. And I'm like, oh no. Oh no. Oh no. In the scriptures. Pastor, I hope that doesn't cut the thing there. They are razor sharp. In the scriptures, the definition, starting in the Old Testament, of sin is an archery term. So an archer pulls back and shoots, and if he misses the bullseye, he sinned. It's called missing the mark. Missing the mark is sin. The meaning of the word sin came from archery in long ago. And I saw my arrow, and it was on target. It was not missing the mark. And then that pig hunkered down, ducked down before he came in. And I missed the mark. I could see it. I knew I was in deep weeds. I had missed the mark. How many of us here tonight missed the mark on a regular basis? In all honesty, to get over here, I was at another meeting before this meeting, and the meeting went over. You know, someone was having some difficulty, a pastor was in some trouble, and I was meeting with him, and I'm looking at my watch, and I'm empathizing and listening and looking at my watch and empathizing and listening. And finally, I've got, you know, I need to get going. I mean, I prayed with them. I missed the mark driving over here tonight. I don't think that 75 and 80 is turnpike speed, is it? And I know that's kind of funny. It's actually true. I was, because I told Pastor I'll try and be here at 6 o'clock. And I just barely got here at 6 o'clock. But you see, in so much of life, if we're really, really honest with each other, we keep trying our best. And we miss the mark. In our relationships. When the enemy tempts us to do something wrong, and for the thousandth time we say, I'm not going to do that again. I vow not do that again. And what happens? Let's be real honest. And we miss the mark again. And we miss the mark again. And we miss the mark again. But the thing is, our Heavenly Father, He knew that about us. In fact, before Jesus came, in the book of Isaiah, it said, all we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone has turned to his own way. And the Lord laid on, and he was talking about Jesus, the Lord laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. See, the Father knew that we would be knuckleheads. Anyone here a knucklehead? Good, I'm in good company. Those of you who didn't raise your hand, you're liars. See, our Father in heaven knew that we would blow it. He knew that we would miss the mark. And so he sent his Son. And the scripture says that the Son came to die in our place. I still remember the first time a guy asked me, so Jeff, how many sins do you think you actually commit in a day? I've never had anyone ask me that before. I'm like, I don't know. He said, well, before we begin, because see, some people think that they're so good that they're not sinful. And he said, now, before we begin this, let me just define sin for you. Sin is missing the mark. If you do something wrong and violate God's law, you miss the mark. That's a sin. Now, if you see someone in trouble and you don't help them, now, I am so thankful that no one was broken down along the road on my way here. Because I probably would not have stopped. Are you with me? So to not do the right thing is missing the mark. And then Jesus said that if a man looks at a woman and lusts after her, he's already committed adultery in his heart. So our thought life, some of you may be looking at this bow. If you're a traditionalist, you're looking at this bow and you're like, man, I wish I had that bow. That's a nice bow. That's a bear bow. That could be sin. And so this guy went on. Now think about it, Jeff. From the time you get up to the time you eat lunch, now I'm not gonna give you like 10 sins a day, not 5. I'm just gonna, let's see if it's just 3 sins a day. So by the time you get up to the time you eat lunch, that means getting dressed, dealing with your kids, driving to work, you get one sin. You'd be pretty good, wouldn't you? Are you with me? No rolling stops. No thoughts about drivers out there. Are you with me? One. Then from lunchtime to dinner time, all the afternoon at work and driving home, one more sin. Just one more you're allowed. And then from then until night, and that's putting the kids to bed and all that kind of stuff and watching TV, one more sin, that's 3 in a day. If we only sin 3 times a day, we'd be pretty righteous, wouldn't we? How many here can pull off three sins a day? Only three sins a day. Not me. But at three sins a day, you're doing pretty good. But then he said, "Sir Jeff, how old are you?" Because he said, "I have some news that's not so good. I mean, I'm 55. He said, "Okay, we'll lop off the first 10 years because you don't know, but that's 45. But think about it. At three sins a day, that's over 1,000 sins a year. How old are you? 55. Okay, I'll give you the first 10. That's 45,000 sins at only three a day. Now, I don't know how it used to be, but on this road right out here, there's the stupidest stop sign. Oh, you know it. And there used to be police officers sitting there. And then in front of the Chevy dealer going down that long hill, they used to just sit there. And it's 40 miles an hour. My car doesn't know how to do 40 miles an hour. Now, let's suppose I get stopped and pulled over, and the judge, I've almost got the guy. Well, I was going to a funeral, and I was getting ready. I was going to a game dinner, and I needed to be on time. You know, he almost got ready to let me off. But then he said, "Young man," I'm not so young anymore, but he said, "Do you have any prior offenses?" And then he looked, and there were 45,000 priors. Are you with me? See, the scripture says there's none righteous, no, not one. Every one of us have missed the mark. Every one of us, every day, have tried to do the right thing, tried to do the right thing, tried to do, but we keep missing the mark. But the good news is, but God. You see what happened next? There I am, shaking like a leaf, and I'm about getting ready to climb a tree. Because I missed the mark. I could see it. And as that wild boar hunkered down and came around, the arrow hit high. Hit it right in the spine. That pig reared straight up and squealed and fell down dead. And the guide behind me, "What a shot! What a great shot! What a shot, man! You're something else! What a shot!" And I'm like, "I missed." And then he went on to tell me that, you know, they had these 1,000, 1,200 acres, and they had named this particular wild boar. It was one of the biggest ones on the whole place. After they field dressed it, it still weighed like 285 pounds. Big, wild pig. They named it Satan. Because it had killed several other pigs. And they knew it because they were tracking them. So then, you know, that I was getting teased by my brother and father and cousins, the Satan Slayer. I missed the mark. I missed the mark. I missed the mark. But God. But God. But God. The scriptures tell us the story that God so loved each one of us that he sent his son to die on the cross. He laid my sin on Jesus so that I could have eternal life and spend it with him. See, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My dear friends, if you're tired of missing the mark, of missing the mark. You could be here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. He's only a prayer away. He says, repent and put your trust in Jesus. That same guy that asked me the question about how often I sin, he said, Jeff, you don't realize it, but because he asked me, why would God let you in? If God said, why should I let you into my heaven? And I was saying, well, I try to be a good person. I try to do the right thing. I'm basically good. He turned to me and said, young man, you need to get out of the Savior business. Because you're trying to save yourself. You got to get out of the Savior business. You need to repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ alone. And all that is saying, Father, please forgive me. I've sinned. I've missed the mark. I've tried. I keep trying, but I keep missing the mark. In my relationships, they're a mess. My life is a mess. I try, but it just gets worse. If you're here this evening and you don't know Jesus, if you've never met Him in a personal way, He wants to meet you. He wants to meet you here and now. He knew that you'd be here. Whether it was to have that food that the ladies prepared, or a friend came, or for whatever reason, He knew that you would be here. In fact, before the creation of the world, Scripture teaches that God knew what you would do and wouldn't do. He knew that you would be here. And He wants to have an intimate relationship with you. And I can tell you, I'm 55. There's nothing better in all the world than having a relationship with the Father in heaven, with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Nothing can compare to that. I had my own business. I did other things. My dad wanted me to follow him in his business. Nice cars, all of those things mean nothing in comparison to a relationship with God. Do you know Jesus tonight? Do you know Him in an intimate way? There's some people here that may not know Him, but there's also some people that probably do know Him. But you're really going through the motions. And you were disappointed with your life, and you prayed to receive Christ because you figured, if I pray to receive Christ, then I can get all the things I want by having God on my side. And I can promise you, if that's where you are, if that's where you're living and where you're at, you still haven't found the abundant life. Because if you're really honest, your life is still messed up. It's still out of control. The Apostle Paul said that they were carnal Christians, or they were of the flesh. They were still in control. In fact, they kind of purchased an eternal fire insurance policy. They said yes to get more. And I know in my early years, that's where I was too. I actually thought I had something to offer God. I was a diesel mechanic. I had my pilot's license, welding, refrigeration, air conditioning. I had all this training. And I thought I had something to offer God. And then one night in Argentina, a young girl named Mary came up to me in some revival meetings, and she said, Pastor, I have a demon. Can you help me? I went and got the missionary. and they cast the demon out of her. That night, I knelt down and I said, Father, please forgive me. I thought I had something to offer you. I just desperately need you. I just want you. Please come. Please come and take complete control of me. Take all of me. I need you. I had already led people to Jesus. I had been a believer for probably 10 years. But I had the arrogance and foolish audacity to think that I had something to offer God. And it took 10 years before I realized people need Jesus, not Jeff. The abundant life is intimacy with God. And I can almost promise you tonight, if you either commit to the Lord or you recommit your life to the Lord, things will get worse before they get better. You know, if almost nothing's happened, if you're just missing the mark and it's your life is just kind of ordinary and nothing real is happening, it's because the enemy knows you can't harm him in the spiritual state that you're in. He knows it. He's going to leave you alone. But if you want to get straight with God, if you want God in control of your life, if you want to be used of Him, if you want to hear one day, attaboy, if one day when you stand before Him and you want to hear attaboy, tonight is the night to make the first step in that. And just say, Father, take all of me. All of me. Fill me with your Spirit. Crucify self. Fill me to overflowing. And use me. I need you, all of you. You must increase. I must decrease. Come and fill me. If you want to hear an attaboy, if you want God to use you to make a difference in eternity, I am driven, but I'm learning to be quiet and to be still before the Lord so that He can fit a word in edgewise and that He can fill me with Himself so that others see Jesus and not Jeff. I'm not sure where you are tonight, but I'm certain that there's some here that don't know Jesus. Or some that do, but you've just been kind of playing the game. And you're living a mediocre life. But you want more. There's more. There's more. In fact, I can promise you, your Father in heaven, not only does He love you, He likes you. He wants to spend time with you. For some of us, that's hard to believe. Because we look in the mirror every morning. Amen? But before the creation of the world, our Father in heaven looked at every one of us. And He said, I love you. I want to know you in an intimate way. I want to fill you with my Spirit. I want to use you to make a difference in the world. Are you hungry for more? Are you hungry for more? I'm going to lead us in prayer. And I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes. And if the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. And I'm going to pray for you guys. I want everyone in this room to have the intimacy that I have. And I'm on a journey, guys. I haven't arrived. I've not arrived in any area of my life. If you don't believe me, I'll give you my wife's cell phone number. The only reason the Pope thinks he's perfect is because he's not married. I've not arrived, but I'm on a journey. And it's the most exciting journey I've ever been on. It's a journey of intimacy with God. And hearing His voice and seeing Him do amazing things. Things that really count. Things that really matter. And I know it's what you want. Just everyone close your eyes. Father in heaven, I believe that this is a divine appointment. I believe that there's no accidents. Everyone is here because you drew us here for one reason or another. But the reality is you want to speak to every person here. And you want to draw them to yourself. Holy Spirit, I just ask right now, in a moment of silence, come, come, and speak to each one here. Right now, in this moment of silence, come.